I'm still in the old school mode here, using paper. Okay. So let's go to Psalms, Psalm 107. Yeah, we're just going to go through a few. It's okay if you get happy when you read them. Okay. Because we're going to read them out loud. Are you there? Let's read verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and did what? Delivered them. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Oh, because I didn't hear everybody. Okay, let's start again. Okay. Psalm 107, verse 20. King James, all these are all in the King James Version. I don't think I switched. Not with these first few, they're all King James. Okay, let's read. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So God is already telling us that he sent his word. And what did his word do? And what else did it do? From? Okay. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 4. Let's read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. Let's stop there. So this is letting us know that we bless God because, and we don't forget the benefits of him being God, being our God. Two of those benefits is he forgives all our iniquities or all our sins, and he heals all our diseases. I may highlight the word all often, you know, during this lesson tonight, but God, it's safe to say that whatever disease comes, God heals it. Because it said he heals all, okay? Isaiah 53, verse 5. All of these should be familiar scriptures. We've read them a number of times. Okay. Let's read. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Not we're going to be. Not we want to be. He said, we are healed. That's very important. That means you're healed right now. It means you don't have to wait for it. You are. Okay? Matthew 4, verse 23. You there? Let's read it. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Wait, did I lose you? Matthew 4, verse 23. I got to hear you. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among who? The people. So any sickness and any disease that existed among the people, Jesus healed. Didn't matter what it was called. It didn't matter what reputation it had. It didn't even matter what the doctors or physicians said. If it were there and Jesus was there, it was gone. Period. Okay? Luke 6. And who started verse 17? in Luke 6. Okay, we there? Let's read it. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Was anybody left out? They were all healed. All of them. Every last one. Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 16. Still in King James. Let's read it. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. How many were healed? Everyone was healed. Did it matter what the affliction was? If they were there and they needed healing, they were healed, period. And 1 Peter 2:24. Talking about Jesus. 24th verse, 1 Peter 2. Everyone there? Let's read it. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Were is past tense. Remember before he said, you are. So if you are, you were. And if you were, you are. It's that simple. See, these verses, I wanted to read them because it makes it clear that healing is a done deal. It really is. There was never an instance where Jesus ministered healing and the person wasn't healed. Now, don't get confused with the time when, you know, they were all gathered in the house and it says the power was there to heal. No one stepped up to be healed except the guy that was carried up on a stretcher and they tore the roof off and lowered him down and he was healed. But the power was there to heal, but the people didn't get healed. And every time Jesus ministered healing, the people were healed. Every single time. And that creates an issue for too many believers. It does. Because they're saying, okay, if that's true, and I want to believe it's true, but if that's true, and hands were laid on me, how come I'm still sick? If that's true. If every time Jesus ministered, people were healed, every one of them. And I'm in Christ, and you're in Christ, and you lay your hands on me, and I still feel the same way. What's wrong? That's a logical question. It really is, and that's where too many people are. So it's a legitimate issue that we have to address. Because a part of the Great Commission says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yes. And you say, hands were laid on me. And in some conditions, it feels like not only is it not getting better, but it's getting worse. Sometimes we think things aren't looking too good. And so he said, well, what's wrong? Is the word not true? Am I doing something? What is it? Well, we're going to start talking about that tonight, and we're not going to finish. You know, either me or Pastor Ed will pick up. You know, we'll piggyback off of each other. But it's a legitimate issue, and I'm going to share what I believe is the main reason, and then we'll just start unpacking and talk about different components in future classes. Turn with me to Hosea. Because we're going to hit what are the two main reasons why we think we ain't healed. I know ain't's not correct, but it proves it says it that way for emphasis. It's just the first part of Hosea 4. It's very familiar. It says, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Okay, if you didn't get to Hosea, it's okay. Go over to Matthew 13. And I'm going to share verse 19. And I'm going to share this out of the Passion Translation. The seed that fell on the beaten path represents the heart of the one who hears the message of the kingdom realm, who heard that with the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, but doesn't understand it. The adversary then comes and snatches away that which was sown into his heart. So there's some things concerning our health and healing that we either A, don't know, or B, don't understand. So we could say we don't get healed because there's some things about healing we don't know. We could say we don't receive our healing because there's some things about healing that we don't understand. Brother Hagin wrote, the road to divine healing is seldom an expressway. More often than not, it's strewn with roadblocks placed in our way by the devil to keep us from the blessing of health that God has provided. These roadblocks wear subtle disguises and come from many sources. Some have their basis in tradition, others in superstition. You can add in others in improper doctor's advice. And by that I mean like to say, well, it's genetic. I mean, hey, if you're black, if you're over 40, you're going to have diabetes and high blood pressure. I mean, that's what they try to tell you. You know? And I've had discussions with doctors. I said, no, that's not true. He said, no, but studies show that. I said, no, studies show that there are people in that generation that have it, but studies don't show that everybody has it. I said, the problem is not genetic. It's cultural. And he said to me, what do you mean by that? And I said, my grandparents were trained to eat a certain way. Well, actually, my great-great-grandparents were just getting out of slavery. So they weren't given healthy food to eat. They were given what the slaves were given during that time, and they learned how to cook with them. And guess what they did? They taught that to my grandparents, who taught it to my parents, who taught it to me. And so you have generations of improper eating habits, the result of which you develop high blood pressure. You develop diabetes. Okay, it's not genetic. But if we don't, remember the whole, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge? If we don't understand that, we will resolve that, well, que sera, sera. You know, what will be, will be. How's it go? The future's not ours, you see? I don't believe that. Some have their basis in tradition, others in superstition. I have someone who's trying to convince me that their neighbors put a spell on them. They're a baby Christian, you know, and they have some folks that should be mature Christians who are suggesting, yeah, I'm sure that's what happened. You know, they how you say that? They worked a root on you? I can't say the word root like they say it, but if they try and work a root on me, it's going to come flying back at them. But it's in superstition. Still, others are based on misquoted and misunderstood scriptures. But the word clearly reveals the tactic Satan uses to keep us off the road to healing. It clearly reveals it. And we're going to talk about some of them. How many of you have ever taken a trip and you ran into heavy traffic? And it felt like you were never going to get home. Never. But it was construction, an accident, but there were roadblocks. Now, it's your home that you're getting to, and you can't get there because of the roadblock. Well, if that's your thought process, you're already mistaken. Because it's not that you can't get there, it's that it may take a little longer to get there. But because there's a roadblock, does that mean it's no longer your home? Does your home disappear because there's a roadblock? No, it doesn't. It's still there, but there's something in the way. And all you have to do is get around what's in the way, and you're home free. But you don't, how many of you, there's a roadblock, you stop, and you say, well, forget this, and you go and just go to figure you got to go do something else because I can't get home. You know, you'll be at the airport, they'll hear a report of a storm or something, they'll cancel a flight. Say, I'm never going to get home. Yes, you are. Tomorrow. Okay. Then no, if you force them to take off, you know, in that storm, you may get to your other home. But we don't stop what we're doing or where we're going because we encounter a roadblock. You know why? We recognize that it's a roadblock. And we treat it as such. We don't do the same when it comes to healing. Like Brother Hagin said, we think it's an expressway. And we want to jump on, pedal to the metal, pop that sucker in the fifth gear, and zoom, off to your healing. And then something comes in the way, and it's like, see, this doesn't work. I knew this wasn't going to work. I knew it. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You needed to know that it will work and that it does work. But even though, as I said, even though you're on your way and a roadblock appears, your destination doesn't go away. If you stick with it, no matter how long it takes, you're going to arrive at your destination. Period. Your home is still there. What belongs to you is still there. See, the roadblock, when it comes to your healing, the devil puts the roadblock there because he wants you to think you'll never get home. So why does he want us to think that? Proverbs 23:7, in the beginning. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you start thinking, I'll never get it. This will never happen. Guess what? You just put another law, another spiritual law, into operation. If you say with your mouth and believe with your heart, you'll have whatsoever you say. And in that moment of frustration, see, the devil doesn't look at it as a moment of frustration. The principles that operate spiritual laws don't look at it as a moment of frustration. You released words into the atmosphere. Those words are going to do something unless you release some other words to counteract them. And it can't be I speak crop failure on those words. No, when you release the words I'm never going to get there. And you believe that in your heart, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. Not because you don't have the ability, you don't think you can. You don't understand how, with all of this going on, what God said can be true. Well, we're back to what we said. Lack of knowledge, you heard a word and didn't understand it. And when you hear it and you don't understand it, what makes that so critical is the scripture says, then comes the evil one and takes away that which was sown in your heart. So what's he going to take? Just that one little word or whatever's sown in your heart? So you need to understand that. Because then you'll start thinking, well, if this isn't true, then that must not be true. If that's not true, then this isn't true. And if this isn't true, then I guess there really is no God. So if there's no God, then I have no guarantee of healing. All of that is bogus. So I might as well just do what I'm going to do. Or like that what Moms Mabley used to say, I'm going to live until I die. Because you think your death is imminent because you don't understand the word. Or you don't believe the word. So should never be whether or not home is still there, whether or not healing is still there. The object of our focus should be, okay, how do I get around this roadblock? Because that's all it is. It's a roadblock. It's trying to prevent me from getting to what was already given to me. I mean, you paid the mortgage on your house. You paid the rent on your apartment. It's yours. You have a right to it. But things come up that prevent you from getting there. Doesn't mean you lose your right of ownership. You still own it. Healing's still yours. We have to get past the roadblocks. And we're going to get past them. Now, one roadblock that people, and I guess this is, a lot of this is probably based on stupid tradition, and that is that God sends, puts sickness on you. God puts sickness on you. And we can prove it by the scripture. Look at Exodus 15. Says, if thou wilt diligently, and you know, I've heard pastors say, remember it says diligently, we stretch it out, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we took that and said, see, God, he puts it. As a young Christian, I thought that God put sickness on people. Because I didn't understand that I thought it's written in English and that's what it is. No, that's the way it was translated. But when you start going back to the ancient texts, you'll mean that it means permits, it means allow, it can even mean ordained. But it doesn't mean put. Doesn't mean place. Doesn't mean he gave it to you. What it means is he allowed it to happen. We're going to talk about that in a little bit because that causes another issue. But when it was translated that Hebrew dialect, and I saw it meant ordained, I was like, wow. That was heavy. God ordained it. He allowed it. He permitted it. But he didn't create it. We have to understand that God does not create evil. There's no evil in heaven. And just like God didn't create sickness, if we open the door to sickness, God will allow it to come in. He'll allow it. You know, not because he doesn't love us, but because Matthew 16:19 works. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Whatever you disallow on earth is disallowed in heaven. So if you allow sickness for whatever the reason, God's going to allow it. Because for him not to, you have to go against what he said. And he's going to keep his word. Even if we don't like it. Even if we don't like the results. And some say, the only reason God allows it is a result of disobedience. Well, see, disobedience doesn't necessarily mean you knew what you were doing was wrong. If you do something that's wrong, is wrong. I mean, whether you knew it or not. If we came in and we said we want everybody to sit in this section, and you come in and you sit over there, you're disobedient to the rules that were said. But I didn't know. I wasn't here. Well, then you should have been to church on time, so you were disobedient to the start time. That's not a shot at anybody that came late. I'm just saying. No, we need to understand that. You know, there's something that we should do. God told me what I should eat and what I should not eat. If I decide to eat what I want, he's going to allow the consequence. He's not going to create a safe haven, folks, for us to be disobedient. He's not. See, and people that think that God has a purpose for sickness or that God sent sickness. I love what Brother Hagin said. Well, if you think that God sent sickness, why are you rebelling against God by trying to get well? If you think God sent sickness to teach you something, why are you unwilling to learn? If you think that God did it for a particular purpose, why are you rebelling against the purposes of God? Don't you want to fulfill the purposes of God? Well, if his purpose is for you to be sick, then stay sick, if that's what you believe. But we really don't believe that. Those are just excuses we use to maybe make us feel better while we're going through it. But we don't really believe that. We just don't know what else to believe. And that sounds logical, so we'll go with the logic. This is what God wants. After all, I'm a godly man. So none of this stuff is supposed to happen to me. I haven't found any scriptures that said that. I found a lot that said opposite. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, you know, that you'll receive 100-fold in this lifetime with tribulation. He told Ananias, I'm going to show Paul the things he must suffer. We don't like to hear that, but it's true. In Psalm 107, as I said before, it said he sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destructions. And we think, well, then nothing should ever come my way. Well, that's letting you know, for one thing, if it was God's will, if it was his purpose for you to be sick, why would he send his word to heal you? Does he change his mind? I have this purpose. No, I don't. Yeah, I think. No, I don't. I mean, you need to look at it that way. When you look at it that way, it seems silly. Well, it really is. But the devil's using a biblical principle. He's taking foolish things to try and confuse us. But think about something. You know, especially when I said, you know, it can be the result of disobedience. People are supposed to walk on the sidewalks, not out in the roadways. Because out in the roadways, you have all types of motor vehicles of every size. And everybody's not traveling along at the same speed. And everybody's not traveling in the same pace. Some folks are more anxious than others. You know, so you have some that stay in a straight line. You have others that are weaving in and out. But the people in the towns, they know That's the nature of motor vehicles, so they created a space called the road, the highway. Cars are supposed to be there. People are supposed to be on the sidewalk. Well, what if you have to get over to the other side? Then you walk to the corner. You look, says, don't walk. Okay, wait. You get frustrated. Can we change our rate? Hitting the button. You know, someone told me those buttons are not connected to anything. Right. And then you look, and finally you get walk, and so you can walk safely across the street. Now, but if you're anxious, and you decide, even though it says don't walk, you do a quick, and you see a car, but it looks like it's way down there. No, you haven't learned how to calculate speed, you know, because you didn't go through police officer training. So you just step out, and you get smacked by that car. Your body suffers severe trauma, or maybe you go home to be with the Lord because of it. God didn't, the people in the town didn't send that car down the road to teach you a lesson. That car was where it was supposed to be. You were not. You were not. Why am I telling you this? We have to stop playing around with the devil. Because when we play around with him, we become subject to everything he has because we're on his turf. We have to stay where we're supposed to be, living the way we are supposed to live, speaking the words we are supposed to speak. God didn't send us, he didn't put us in the path of sickness, but he knows where sickness dwells. And he tells us not to go there. And we go anyway, because we want to. And then we come back, you know, like they say, you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. God didn't send the fleas for you. They got on a dog. But you're down there where the dogs belong, and guess what? You come up with fleas. We have to learn that I've learned, I'll say it that way, and I've had to share this with all of my doctors. And it's a lesson, you know, that I don't understand why I don't seem to get it. But every time I minister, especially on Sundays, my blood pressure drops. Drops. To the point where I take I don't take any medicine. But see, it's not just Sunday. The time I spend preparing, I'm not watching TV, I'm not doing anything else. I am totally in the Word. Not leaving until I get a revelation. And so I'm just studying and getting excited and reading and reading and reading and reading. And it's having a positive effect on my body. And the funny part about it, you say, well, why don't you do that all the time? I'm like, I'm still thinking about that. You know, but when I am studying, I am just saturated with the Word. And the medicine causes my blood pressure to drop too low. The times when I come out after Sunday and you see I'm sitting down in the red chairs, that's because I've gone in my office, I've taken a blood pressure reading, and I saw a number of 60 over 48. And I'm like, I need to sit down. And sometimes I'll go in my office and come out a few minutes later while I'm sitting down with my feet elevated. Because I've learned what I have to do. And so because of that, my doctors, they've agreed with me that I take half dosages on Sunday. And some Sundays, I don't take any. And not purposely, I just get busy and forget. And I take my blood pressure at the end of service, and it's still low. It's not that low, but it's like 106 over 68, which is fine. Which is fine. But that's because, again, I'm saturated with the Word. And that seems to neutralize the roadblocks. I mean, it's just that simple. Actually, thought just came to me. Thank you, Lord. If we're tuned in, we may not even hit the roadblock. Anybody have a navigation system on your car? I like Waze. I've been using, I like Waze. Because I don't need it to tell me where the police are because I'm usually not speeding. But I like to know when obstructions and things are coming. It tells me. And I was thinking about this, you know, and it's kind of like the Holy Ghost. Because it'll say to you, obstruction up ahead. It's telling me things to come. I mean, you'll have a slowdown for the next 3.2 miles. Or in the middle of anything, in the middle of traveling, a sound will go off, and I'll say, get off at this exit. And I get off at the exit, I'm like, where's it taking me? And it takes me back on the highway. I turn on the news and found out there was a major accident back there. It just automatically routed me around it. Because I listened to it. Now, there's sometimes I didn't. There's times like, I'm not going that way. That's ridiculous. And I wind up sitting in traffic for 2.5 to 3 hours thinking, I should have listened. Why? Because, yeah, I may have a good vision, but my eyes don't see what a satellite sees. Well, for one thing, I'm on this planet. I'm not out in space over the planet. So I can't see as much as the satellite. I don't know the blockages and things that are coming. Well, guess what? God knows everything that's coming our way. And he, via the Holy Ghost, is going to tell us and give us instructions. And if we listen to him, he will take us around roadblocks. Now, there's some roadblocks you're just going to have to deal with. And that's fine, and we don't have a problem with that as long as we remember our destination still belongs to us. So I'm not going to get there at 7 o'clock. I'm not going to get there until midnight, but I'm getting there. That's the main thing. We're getting there. But we need to understand that roadblocks are going to come up, period. Sometimes you'll go around them. Sometimes you'll have to deal with them. What type of attitude are we going to have when we're either way? But especially when you have to deal with them. Because they're not going to just move. You're going to have to speak to them. And there are times I've sat there and I said, traffic, come on, you ease up, open up in Jesus' name. Father, and if I hear sirens, then it's Father, I thank you that no one was severely injured or lost their life. You know, and if I have to sit here for a few minutes while they properly take care of that person or those persons, then that's fine with me. And then you sit down, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you know, put on Kirk Franklin's music or one of the other stations. Or even if it's one of the Laugh USA, sometimes I like to just laugh, so I'll put on the comedy channel. But the key is, I am not getting frustrated, I'm not getting flustered, I'm not getting upset, and I'm certainly not moving over into disbelief or unbelief because a roadblock appeared. I'm finding out from God, how do I get around it? Or if I need it, I'm thanking him for patience while it gets worked out. Because sometimes with these roadblocks on the highway, you can't do anything to move it. You have to wait. Somebody else has to come and move everything out and then clear you to pass. And really, you don't want to go past until it's safe anyway. You know, folks got upset when they closed the bridge, the new bridge, because they thought the old bridge was going to fall on it. And folks got upset. And I'm thinking, do you want to go across it and be in the news as someone missing? Because your car is somewhere down near the bottom of the Hudson River. We were in Chicago, Pastor Ed and I, we were in Chicago the one and only time we're ever going to fly through, connect through Chicago in the wintertime. And they canceled our flight. And the next flight that they told us about would have gotten us to where we wanted to go 3 hours late. And if that's what it was, that's what it was. But Pastor Ed got in the spirit, he said, Pastor Greg, why are we receiving this? I'm like, that's right, let's not receive this. So let's believe that there's another flight. And we got an agreement. God, we believe you're going to lead us to another flight. We went to the board and looked. There was another flight. We went there. He was number six. I was number seven on standby. And so we said, okay, seven people need not to show up. You know, for good reasons, Lord. You know, we don't want anything to happen. And they called out the first one. Said, okay, Lord, we need two more. The person said, we have two seats, but they're right in front of the restroom. We said, we don't care if they're in the restroom. Okay. We're getting on this flight. And we got on the flight. Didn't want to get too far off, but I was telling you all this to let you know that, yes, roadblocks are going to come. It's a part of it. It's a part of travel. It's a part of life. But roadblocks don't mean that you lose ownership of what's yours. It doesn't mean you lose what was given to you, what was provided for you. All it means is that there's something blocking it. And you have to wait for the blockage to be removed. You know, Pastor Clinton wrote that song, You'll Take Care of Me. And, you know, the first time I heard it, I loved the chorus, I have no doubt, you'll supply my needs. But then there was one of the verses that I really heard it for the first time. It said, and while we're waiting, we will feed upon your precious word. Psalms, the Gospels, and the Prophets, Paul's letters, and Proverbs. And when we see his perfect will in those old hallowed lines, we will obey each single word and complete your grand design. And all of a sudden, that just started ministering to me, and I said, while I'm waiting. So that means while I'm waiting, I shouldn't be complaining. I shouldn't be wondering. I shouldn't be anxious. That's a time for me to feed on the word, with the purpose to do what it says. Period. And the next thing I know, I'm through. I've gotten through. See, we're waiting for a breakthrough. Well, a breakthrough doesn't come if you're in construction. You need to drill through to break through something. Just because you have a drill and a bit and electric doesn't mean you're breaking through. You have to do something with it. You have to apply some pressure and some power to it and then be patient. One of the things that my dad told me, I was using a drill. Well, first time he told me I was using a saw. You know, and you're 12, 10, you think you know everything. You know, you think you do anything. So I'm seeing him sawing. Like, Dad, can I do that? Yeah. And I'm like, I can't push. And I'm pushing down on it. And he's like, why are you doing the work? I said, I have to push the saw. He said, let the saw teeth do the cutting, son. And so I said, just push it lightly. And I am. And it's going. And then all of a sudden I see it's cutting through. I'm like, okay. The same thing with the drill. They take the drill, start, and they start. No. That's what the bit does. Let it do what it's supposed to do. Well, we have the word. We take the word, we want to jam it down and make something happen right away. No. Speak the word in faith and let the word do what the word does. It'll get rid of the roadblock. It'll show you how to navigate around it. It will allow you to be patient while it's being removed. But you have to have confidence knowing this healing is mine. Yeah, I know there's something out there. God will take care of that. Thank you, Father, for the patience while this is being worked out. You don't change your confession. You don't change what you think. You keep doing what God told you to do. And most of the time, you won't even realize that the healing manifested. One day you walk around and say, you know, when did that happen? Thank you, Lord. You know, I mean, that's what happens. Because your mind is focused not on the roadblock, but your mind is focused on the destination. So you're still believing that healing is mine, and you keep going about doing what you're supposed to be doing. And in the midst of it, it manifests. It manifests. It's like, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, what happened to them? They were healed. They were healed. So again, people think that God has a purpose for allowing sickness. Why are we getting healed? Why are we searching after healing if we really believe that to be so? God makes it crystal clear that he wants us healed. And God would never use the devil against us. When you even think about that, Jesus said that he gave us power. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. He gave us power, like the Amplified, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. How much of the power? All. So let's just think about this for a moment. If God sent healing, which is really the power, part of the power of the devil. So if God's going to send the power of the devil for a specific purpose to use on one of his children to whom he's given power over all the power of the devil. Think about that. Even if, let's just say, for sake of this session, let's just say that God did that. God, we're just saying, we know you didn't. Okay. Let's say God, he's using the devil for a purpose against you. Whether he wants to teach you something, so whatever the reason. And he knows you have power over all the power of the devil, so he gives you more power. He gives the devil more power. Well, you get more power because God can't contradict his own word. So if he gave you power over all the power of the devil, even if the devil acquires more power somehow, you get more power. Because you will always have power over all the power of the devil, no matter how much power he has. The power you have will always supersede it. Always. No matter what. We just have to understand that. We have to know it, and we have to understand it. There is no power that the devil has that we don't have power over it. Doesn't matter how it comes. All means all. Nothing left out. There isn't any particular, you know, power booster or any trick or anything that the devil can come up with to overtake you. You still have power over all the power he possesses. Period. Period. And nothing will by any means harm us. We need to know it. We need to understand it. Because it's so. It's so. All means all, nothing left out. Nothing at all. And let's think about what the devil comes to do. What sickness comes to do. Steal. Kill. Destroy. So steal your health, take your life, destroy the faith of your family and friends. Maybe other. There's some folks, we went through that stretch, you know, where we had six or seven people go home to be with the Lord, and people start wondering, what's going on in the church? What's going home is people are getting up in years, and they're choosing to go home to be with the Lord. That's what's going on. Or, as what was shared with one, person didn't stop doing a behavior that was detrimental to their health. And because they didn't stop, it took away their good health. See, and the lesson there is, you can't expect that God will allow you to continue doing a destructive behavior, and he'll treat you like it never happened. You keep doing what you want, that's all right. I'm going to take this thing away from you anyway. So you just keep doing it. Just keep smoking. Just keep drinking. Just keep damaging your lungs and your liver. I'll take care of you. That's fine. No, that's not the way it works. He's going to say, stop smoking. Stop eating that. Stop drinking that. Exercise more. Like, I don't like exercise. You like living. That's what it is. So, well, I heard someone say once, I'm just believing that I'm going to lose weight. That's fine. Somehow, you're going to have to burn more calories than you consume. But if you keep eating the same way and praying, God, take this weight from me, I can see God up there going... He'll say, okay, stop visiting Dunkin' Donuts. You're like, well, I like Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, so I'll only go every other day. Instead of three donuts, I'll eat two. That's not what he said. He said, don't go. You do that anyway. And next thing you know, God had to allow your pancreas to be attacked. He was telling you what to do to stop it. Because you can stop it. He can't. He's not going to go and block it from going through your pancreas. He's not going to do that. He's going to tell you, don't put this in. But because we're at a roadblock, we look off to the side and, hey, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. So I'll just go wait inside until this clears up. This way I can stretch my legs. I'm not cramped up. And you walk inside, and it doesn't just have donuts. It has ice cream. Okay. And you know God said, stay away from those things. Stay away. That means don't even go inside. Because if you go inside, you're going to come out with sugar on your breath. Here's a thought. If we really want to fulfill the purpose of God, we don't have to do it by thinking that sickness is part of that purpose. How about just being obedient to what he tells us and seeing what happens from that? God has no purpose, folks, in permitting sickness. But I said, but sickness has a purpose. I would rather go with God's purposes than sickness' purposes. And because I now know, and you now know and understand that there are roadblocks out there, because we only talked about the one with people thinking that God sends sickness. There are more roadblocks out there. I mean, we think God has a purpose. We think that it's God's will for us to be sick. You know, we think we have to do the Old Testament things, you know, to get healed. We have to, all these crazy roadblocks that we've put up, and some of them we've put up. You know, we attribute everything to the devil, but everything's not the devil. Some things are just us. I mean, F.S. Boswell said one of the things that, you know, prevents us from being healed is violating natural laws. So that means We can do it. Well, first of all, if we did everything God said, we wouldn't be violating natural laws. So I was going to say that, but I'm not. But we have to be more concerned with, God, what do you want me to do right now in this situation than the situation that I'm going through? We have to be more concerned with how God wants us to get around the roadblock than the fact that we're, you know, behind a roadblock. We have to train ourselves. We have to do a better job renewing our minds to know that we are who we say we are, and we have what God says we have. And what God says we have is not contingent on any circumstance. We were healed, period. We were healed. It doesn't matter what's in the way of it. Healing is still ours, period. And that's the way we have to see it. It doesn't matter if it flares. I mean, God told me that you know, not to concern myself with the blood clots that were in my leg the last time, that, you know, they're dissolved. And I believed them. My leg was bothering me. So I went and got it checked out, and the operator said, "See a blood clot that's just below your knee." The doc said they saw a blood clot. I'm like, "God, you told me blood clots are dissolved." The doctor looked at it. "That's a remnant from the one that was dissolved." Still dissolving. Okay. He said, we want to do another scan in 3 months just to see that it's all gone. So what do you want me to do? Nothing. Don't do anything. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And it is fine. But I didn't spaz out. And thank God, you said it was gone, and it's still there. Why is it still there? Why does this keep happening to me? I'm always getting blood clots. Oh, you just put those words out there. So no, I don't say that. I made the mistake, because sometimes roadblocks are our own, what's the word? Curiosity, or our own desire for information. Because I had a symptom. I had this particular symptom. I said, "That's a strange symptom." I didn't feel threatened by it, but I have this thing that I like to know. So I looked up this symptom, and you know they always give you the worst first. I looked at this symptom as a common symptom of MS. Like, no, I'm not putting that in my mind. Lord, I repent. There's no MS in this body. Body, there's no sickness, disease, disorders, abnormalities, or malfunctions in you of any kind in Jesus' name. Period. I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. Well, I gave the enemy an opportunity to inject fear and doubt to come in. You have a perfectly healthy body and you walk around thinking you have a disease of some kind. Oh, no. See, that was a roadblock that I would have created. See, like I said, everything doesn't come from Satan. We create things. You know, I was well-intentioned, but one of the things that I need to stop saying is I have to know everything. Because I act like I have to know everything. And because of that, I'm not settled at enough at night to really get a good night's sleep because my brain is still working, still thinking about things. No, it's not the devil. It's me. I have to do something about it. But did you understand there are roadblocks to healing? And a roadblock does not mean that we were not healed. All it means is that there's something in the way trying to prevent you from seeing that you have it. But look at it in terms of your home. You're on your way home. You run into some roadblocks. Doesn't mean your home was taken away. All it means is it may take you a little more time to get there. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.